Accession number 18548, Reel 1.
Alfred Lee, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in London on the 29th of January 1924.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in London?
Part school in London and part school in County Durham.
Whereabouts in County Durham?
A place called Hawarden. Hawarden Corrie is a mining village.
How do you spell Hawarden?
H-O-R-D-E-N.
Was that because your father moved there for work?
My father was a miner and my mother was a Londoner.
Did your father originate from County Durham?
Well, part of the family originated from Lancashire.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
In 1938?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. You've got a couple of years up from 1924 to 19.
Did you get a job?
Yes, I got a job. I got a job working on a poultry farm.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
Yes.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare?
I did. On the radio.
What were your feelings about that?
Well, being a youngster, I couldn't care. You know, it was immaterial to me. I knew the war. I've heard so much about the Great War. I was like more or less called to arms. Couldn't get old enough to join up.
You were keen to join up?
I was, yes.
Why was that?
Well, I suppose something to do. It was more like adventurous, patriotic and all that.
Had you been in the TA?
No, I was too young. I had been in the TA after the war. I was in the 3rd and 4th County London Yeomanry, sharpshooters. I did 13 and a half years in that regiment. That was after the war.
But in 39, when did you join up in the war?
I joined up in, I got called up in 1942. But previous to that, I'd come down to London and trained as a bench fitter. And I was making ASTICs. Have you heard of ASTICs?
No.
Anti-submarine devices.
Oh, yes.
You heard the ping?
ASTIC, yes.
The ASTICs, yeah. I was working in the factory in Wembley making these ASTICs.
What job did you have on the ASDIC?
Well, I was a bench fitter. I was making the tanks. You know, more or less working in brass all the time. The tank of the ASDIC where they put the rolls of paper for, you know, different things like that.
Were you in any of the bombing of
London? Yes, I was in the Blitz. I actually saw, I don't know whether it's a Dorney or an ankle that crashed into Buckingham Palace. I was in Paddy looking out the window and saw the plane come down through the clouds. And also, a night bombing raid. He bombed round Paddington. He put a bomb in the graveyard at Kensal Rise. And the headstone went straight through the gasometer. And it caught fire. It was just like daylight.
And this plane that bombed Buckingham Palace, can you describe exactly what you saw?
Well, just a glimpse, a quick glimpse. I mean, it could have been about 3 or 4 seconds, but I just saw it come through the clouds.
Was it on fire?
No, it wasn't on fire, but it was going down like that, you know, just. And the way our place was situated, Buckingham Palace, was in that direction, like, you know.
What was your address in those days?
It was 32 Ashmore Road.
That's near Paddington, is it?
That is in Paddington, yeah. Just off the Arrow Road. Do you know the Arrow Road? Runs down from Wembley right down to Hedgeway Road. And because we're in a top floor flat that time, so we had a good view.
What other Blitz memories have you got?
What of the Blitz? Well, at the time I was working in Watford, and I used to go weekends to stop with my grandmother and me, three sisters, and say Saturday night we went down to the air raid shelter. Anyway, come back the next day and he'd bombed us, and three doors down, he took the section out, the bomb had hit the section, took the section of flats out. And then on top of that, he used to pick up bits of shrapnel or, you know, anything that's flying around.
How frightening was the Blitz for you? How frightening was the Blitz for you?
Well, we're in my grandmother's, well, the grandmother's basement, and I heard a bomb drop, I heard a whistle coming down, we all dived under the table. There's about four heads first in the table, all backsides out. We heard the bomb go off, and the grandma was a bit nervous. Anyway, she had a little bottle of whiskey in her handbag, so that's the first taste of whiskey I had.
What was that address?
That was 26 Ashmore Road.
What was the basement like to shelter in?
Well, it was a semi-basement. It wasn't... These houses were built in Victoria's time. They were only mortar. So I suppose what blasts it took were just probably... It's just like house of cards blown over, like, you know. So I suppose there's a decent amount of protection there, but, you know, it's half and half.
Did you use any other kind of shelter?
Well, the grandmother had an Anderson shelter in 32. We used to get in there sometimes.
What was that like inside?
Well, I managed to scrounge a bit of wood. Uncle got me some wood. I made a timber floor, so it was a little bit of comfort, but that was it.
Could you stand up in it?
Oh, yeah, Anderson shelter, yeah. Well, the only trouble is you've got a lot of condensation in there, you know, with people breathing. And the walls were galvanised. So, on half and half, you know. If you're in Anderson shelter, you stuck it till 2-3 hours till you're all clear, and then you come out again, you know. But, on the whole, we didn't like going in the Anderson.
Could you sleep in them?
That did issue these bunk beds. It was like a wooden frame with, I think it was about 3/4 strap metal formed mattress.
How do you think public morale stood up to the bombing?
Well, all right. It wasn't, well, just everyday normal life, really. Even if there hadn't been any bomb, it was just the same morale and everything. So, on the whole, I think it was pretty good.
Had you been born in the Paddington area?
Yeah, I had. But I also joined the Home Guard when I was working at Wembley. I was the 1st 16th Middlesex Regiment. Home Guard.
What was that like?
Well, it's all right. Fun. First time I fired a 303, shortly Enfield.
And was it all young people in the Home Guard?
Well, it was one or two old sweats from the 1914 war, the sergeant instructors, but the rest were young lads.
Whereabouts did you meet in Wembley?
Well, I think that HQ, no, we met at the works, Synchronorms, in Wembley. Synchronorms, but that was in Alpington. Do you know Alpington?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, that's just below Wembley, well, part of Wembley. We used to meet there at the factory.
Did you all have weapons?
Yes, we had, I think it's Canadian Ross rifles. A 303 is a British standard cartridge, and I think it was 300, like, American cartridge. But we never fired the Ross, we only fired the Enfields. Also had the 18-inch bayonet to go with the rifle.
What kind of duties did that Home Guard unit have?
Well, we did one or two schemes, but then we used to come round to say a Sunday, we had to guard the HQ, which was in, I think, Arrow somewhere it was.
What did you do on the schemes?
Well, a little bit of groundwork, you know, tacking and defending. Retreating, advancing, different other things like that. Bit of marching.
Did you learn very much with them?
Hmm?
Did you learn very much with them?
I learned how to slow up arms. Port arms.
Was it much like this programme on the television called Dad's Army?
No, of course it was. It was more serious than that.
Did you think the Germans would invade?
I don't know. I think the only shock I had was working there was when the Prince of Wales and the Repulse got sunk in Malayan Straits. That shook me uprightly, that. Because my father was in the Navy, 1914 war, so it was a very demoralising aspect that came through your mind. God, bloody ships are gone, like, you know, all pride and joy had gone. The same with the Ud when that went down. That was a blow.
Do you think the Home Guard would have given a good account of themselves had the Germans invaded?
I think so, you know. I think they would have had a go, but whether they would have beat the Germans or not, that's two different things.
Did you ever listen to Lord Haw Haw?
No, I never heard him. No, I might have done, but there's Germany calling, but as far as that, no.
What about Churchill? Did you listen to him?
Well, once, twice, but probably might have heard from both once, like, you know, but that was about it.
Did you think Britain was going to win the war?
Well, I didn't think we were going to get defeated. I know, I thought it might have been a long struggle, you know, which was. But I don't think he was going to beat us.
Now, you said you got called up in 42, I think.
Yeah, 42, yes.
What happened when you were called up?
Well, I went down to Maidstone in Invicta Barracks. I couldn't remember that name still, Invicta Barracks. And we did 6 weeks square bashing, getting ourselves fit. Then we had to do an IQ test, you know.
How did you cope with the basic training?
All right, laughing.
Why?
Enjoyed it. PT in the morning, running. What's better than that? Open air life. I mean, when I was working in the factory, I was working night work, and it was getting me down, you know. So I was out there in the fresh air, enjoying myself. Good breakfast every morning, meals, you know.
What did you get for breakfast?
Oh, burgoo.
What's that?
Porridge. Yeah, porridge, egg and bacon, you know, general stuff. It was a good meal. Plenty of tea.
Do you like burgoo?
Oh, yeah, it's all right. Salt. You're Scottish, you've got to be, you know.
How were you treated by the people in charge of the basic training?
Very good. Some of the lads came back from Dunkirk. I think the regiment was the Mutton Lancers. I think it was the West Kent, I think. No, the Queen's Royal West Kent, Mutton Lancers. Have you heard of that regiment?
I've heard of the Royal West Kent.
Yeah, they used to have a sheep, a ram, with a flag on them.
Was that the Queen's Royal Regiment?
Might have been, but anyway, we used to call them, nickname the Mutton Lancers. The Mutton, which is lamb, and the Lancers, the flag. Yeah, it gives good training, they did. Because we're eager, you know. We used to look out for the best squad. We used to get the best squad.
And did you learn much in the basic training?
Yeah, well, discipline, everything. Keep yourself clean, you know, and everything that goes in the army, you know. Keep your mouth shut. Don't take the mick.
Do you think it did you any good?
Of course. Well, I wasn't a rogue or anything when I was in Civvy Street, you know, but it did advance your education. Because everything you learn every day, you always advance on your education. You always learn something.
What happened after the basic training?
After basic training, we had a test, and I was posted to Whitstable to form the Royal Artillery. Went on 25-pound field artillery. And I still remember the colonel was Colonel Williams. And if you saw Colonel Williams, you look at Colonel Blimp. You know Colonel Blimp?
Yes.
White hair, moustache, riding trousers, you know. Anyway, it was formed, another 25 pounders and all that. And
which unit was this called? What was its name?
What, the unit?
Yes.
The Field Regiment, 188 Field Regiment. 188 Field Regiment.
And were you in action? Were these anti-aircraft?
No, this action we did shooting schemes. But I learned to drive in the army. I learned to drive on a quad, which is a Morris Commercial four-wheel drive gun tractor. Crash gearbox and all that, you know, doubly clutch up and down. And then I was given a job of driving K1. K1.
What's that?
Well, that's K1 is the quartermaster's 800 wireless wagon.
How did you like being with this unit?
Very good. It was great. It was a good mob. We had a lot of lads from the Buffs. The Buff Regiment got busted up and they got pushed out. Regiment, like, you know, so it was the Buffs and young recruits, like, you know, so it was a good regiment. Officer called Cotton, Captain Cotton. He was a bit of a lad. He used to call everybody, boy, come here, boy. It was McLean, we used to call toothpaste. Oh, yeah, it was quite a laugh, really. Martyrs march everywhere.
And this was 1942?
Yeah, 1942, 43, going on.
Did you get bombed in Whitstable area?
One or two raids come over there, Whitstable and Margate, but we're always getting on the move. You know, I think it was Whitstable and Margate. Then we went down to Wales, down Sennybridge, down that way, my clock, of course, the Wales, come back, the Isle of Wight. We did like a Cook's tour of all the South East. I think we went to Isle of Wight twice, and we ended up at Clacton-on-Sea, you know Clacton?
Essex, yes.
Yes, we got busted up there. Sad day of our life.
The unit was broken up?
Yeah, well, what happened was the 51st had come back from Sicily, Montgomery for the Second Front. And some of the lads, the gunners, they went to another artillery regiment, but best part of us went to the Middlesex, the 1st, 7th Middlesex.
Is that what you went to?
I went to the 1st, 7th Middlesex. They were heavy machine gunners, Vickers. Do you know about the Vickers, dear?
Tell me about it.
The Vickers, well, had a 3-inch mortar sight on the Vickers, which they did indirect firing. You know, indirect, just like artillery. Anyway, trained on that. And also on the Bren gun carrier, a Dunstable. You've heard of Dunstable?
Yes, that's near Luton.
Dunstable Downs?
Yes.
Where the glider club is? Well, we were stationed in the hangar of Dunstable. The previous to that was a POW camp for the Italians. But it was condemned for the Italians, not satisfactory, like, you know, for them. So they put us in there instead, so we got what they had. And we used to run them down the Downs in the carriers. But I don't know if you know the... From the landing stage where the glider lands, they go straight up this hill. Do you know it?
I don't know.
It's up the hill like that. And we went up, used to go up this hill in the Bren carriers. Bottom gear. And you had to be careful which way path you took. If you took a slide track like that, you lost a track. And at sometimes about 3 or 4 Bren carriages be stuck up in the hill with the tracks missing. So we got the Remy down there with the I think they put, but no, they had a recovery beagle. The Scammel. That used to be top, we only used some winches up, and then tracks on, and away we go again.
Did you like the Vickers machine gun?
Yeah, very good it was. We had a couple of shoots with it. We went up at the quarry and put these old 4 gallon jerry tins, not jerry cans, but the previous petrol tins, in the quarry. Had a shoot at them, like, you know, half a belt, 150 rounds, something, you know. Yeah, great fun, yeah.
And did you stay with this unit very long?
No. What happened was there, they brought in some Royal Corps signal chaps, which were supposed to be mortar mechanic signals, and they're a trade above us. And I think, coming out the artillery and all that, a bit rebellious we were, like, you know. Anyway, we got posted to St. Albans, about 20 of us. We were stationed in St. Albans, still in the Middlesex, but we were posted to the Seaforth Islanders. Like, we're doing dining room orderlies and different other jobs, while the Seaforth trained for street fighting in London. And I was in the cookhouse, I had a good time there. I mean, Peter, the sergeant cook, me and him got on well. And, you know, it was bacon and eggs every morning, or steak, whatever came out. So I fed well. And then we were ordered to get our best battle dresses on. We marched up the regimental HQ in St. Albans. And the RSM, I don't know how you call him, Wilson, Tug Wilson, they called him. Big chap, we'd been through the desert with the Seaforth and all that. He called his attention. He says, "You're now in the Seaforth Islanders." And it was Geordies, Londoners, and everything. So that didn't go down too well. So he said, "If you want to transfer back to any other region, put your transfer lifts in." So he went back and wrote out this transfer to Royal Artillery, transfer this and all that. And we heard later on, he just got all the lot of them and stuck them in the waste paper basket. Now don't transfer. Anyway, we...
Which battalion of the Seaforths was this?
Second battalion. It was a regular battalion. The first was out in Burma. And therefore we went in there to see Seaforth Islanders. Then we moved to Cambridge and did a lot of forest training. But being a driver, I got pushed around on a, I think it was Austin utility wagon, like a Buckshee Bod I was.
Buckshee what?
Buckshee Bod, you know, no name, no, it was one of the ghosts. So, we moved down to, is it Romford? Romford down in Kent.
Romford's in Essex.
Well, I think it's, it might have been, but, not far from Gravesend. I know that because we walked into Gravesend one night. We were first line reinforcements. I made it up with a bloke called Mackenzie. He'd gone through the desert. Alec Mackenzie. He was a piper. But I think something happened to his marriage and he wasn't very happy. He was withdrawn within himself. He could only speak to him, like, you know, when he'd had one or two pints. Anyway, we told him to pack our kit up, and he went down to Southampton. We were behind barbed wire, and the first line of reinforcements. So, I think D-Day came, and the same day we moved down to Southampton, and I think HMS Prince Henry pulled in. I think it was a Canadian packet boat on the lakes. But previous to that, he'd lost all his landing craft on D-Day. So he'd been there, come back, loaded, and we'd gone out there, and I think we landed on, I don't know, it was D-2 or D-3. But after losing all his landing craft, this landing craft came alongside us, and they put one of these canvas funnels down the side of the ship. I don't know if you've seen them, have you? Like a canvas funnel. Instead of going over on these nets, there's a canvas funnel. Anyway, what do you do? You sling your kid down the funnel, rifle, kid bug, whatever you got, and you follow behind. So this landing craft is quite a fair size. I weighed up the pros and cons, so I said, well, there's one thing going. If things are going to get hit, I won't be on the surface. I'm not going to be down below. Which a lot of lads went below, so I was on the deck. He took off there, and a good skipper. He put us right to shore. I think about a foot of water, so we only got up there wet. He marched inland to the centre there where they held all the first line reinforcements. I was only down there about an hour or so, and the transport officer of the Safe Force came down. He asked for me, you know, is Lee here? Oh, Christ, yeah. So I got picked and I went back up into the line, up round Randerville. Now I was given S Company Jeep to drive. You know, S Company is support company. They're 3-inch mortars, brain guns, flamethrowers and all that, you know. So I was the captain's driver.
How did you like doing that job?
It was all right, but I had one or two crappy jobs. One was putting 6-pound anti-tank guns in position, change them over, which you know, the Jeep towed it into position. There was one place I took over, changed over, but Jerry must have spotted us in this field, and he shelled us, like, you know, we tried to put him in position. Every time he got there, he shelled us, you know, so we came out, and we changed over at night time. Well, at night time, going up the road, I put the gun in position, got the other one behind us, but the telegraph wires was like a thick copper, about 3 mil thick, had been blown and it was on the road. And I got that one round the prop shaft of the Jeep, you know, the driving shaft. And going down the road made a hell of a noise, you know. And it took me the following day about 3 or 4 hours to cut all the copper from underneath the shaft. And then that was up in Randerville, and then I got went up the Triang, called the Triang, it's a forest. I got posted to the MO, had these stretcher frames on. You ever seen them?
No.
A Jeep, and had these frames you put on a Jeep, and it took three stretchers on it. One beside you, and two on top. And I was on that for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Going out getting casualties and bringing them back to the first aid dressing station. And the MO used to look out and send them back. I used to take them back to advanced dressing station.
Where did you get the casualties from?
Well, from shelling, bombing, sometimes small attacks and all that, you know. Moaning Mini. You ever heard of Moaning Minis? 6 point used quite a lot of them. But sometimes I used to spoon about a bit, like, up there. So what happened is, I think another regiment was putting in an attack. And I think we had the Bren gun section. I'd had Bren guns lined up on fixed tripods. You ever seen them?
No.
And you had a fixed tripod and you put the Bren on it. You didn't fire like that. It was on fixed lines for fixed fire at night time and all that. So we had 8 of them lined up. We had the trenches stuck behind them. And the captain says, well, I think there's one bloke, there's two blokes to Bren. And the order was, well, he blew the whistle,